ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Anybody have any realizations today?
Yeah, I was going to work in the morning. I was thinking, really, if the life has started, or that was just 4 days, but that was an entirely different life. Mm. Like, I was thinking, oh, I'm at this body. Yeah, so it was definitely the spiritual energy, the experience was totally different. Mm. Yeah.
Beautiful. Shyama Bhakti.
Bhakti Dina, she left for New York today, so I really missed her, and she really inspired me. She was singing Mangal Arati every day with us, and she had such a sweet voice. So I was realizing, we were also singing Mangal Arati, but the way she sang it, I felt very enthusiastic. So she inspired me very much. So I was just thinking that, as you say, that every day you should start, you should have the beginner approach every day. So I think I just learned from her that thing.
Beautiful. I really felt like she fit into the family really well. When she came here, she seemed really very affable. Everyone was friends with her and things like that. It was very nice to see. Hare Krishna.
All these days, like so, chanting, feasting, and dancing, no other activity. So it was like a long vacation, like 3 days off. Now I'm worrying that I have to go back to work tomorrow. The light is again going to be so dreadful. How can I have this type of life on the day? That's what I'm
You know, one thing we talk about at the yatra, just when we're leaving, if it feels like that too, how can I go back and how can it be over? And one of the points that Madhavananda Prabhu brought up the last time was that when it is over, then we get a chance to appreciate how nice it was and to think about how to do it more in the future. And we were talking last night, I was talking to a couple of devotees about separation and how the river of separation of or rasa, actually, the relationship we have with Krishna, the two banks, Gaura Govinda Maharaj used to say, are Vipralamba and Sambhog, meeting and separation. And that's what keeps the river constantly flowing. You know, we have that connection and then we have the separation. And both of them have their powerful energy to keep us moving. So yeah. But I can appreciate the feeling sometimes when we're at Rathiatra in Los Angeles. I've had this experience where we spend 4 or 5 days cooking, packing books, and when you're there, you're always in the campus and always next to the vibration, because LA is so expansive that with the temple property, you don't leave the property. And then when we go away to drive off to Rathiatra or something, going down the street, and you see people engaged in normal life, going to the 7-Eleven or whatever they're doing, you think, oh, this is still going on. How could that be? Don't people know? Yeah. What else? Any other realizations? Yes.
Maharaj, I remember 2 points that you mentioned, that the biggest yagya is austerity for the benefit of others. Mm. I think I really took it home because I really felt, because of the false ego, which every time you're bombarded with, and you're busy finding faults with others, but rather my motive should be that how I use my life for the benefit of others, but rather right now the mood is that if somebody is not actually satisfying my false ego, it's very easy to find faults with that person. So that transition has to be done. And the other point which you mentioned was that the empowerment happens when you want to do something, but you don't know how to do it, but you still continue to do it. And then that's how empowerment will come. So I've been thinking about this today, and I just want the transition, because the heart is, there's always the material mind and the spiritual heart, which there's a conflict between all the two all the time. So the transition has to happen. That was one point, and the other was, as you mentioned, about separation. That we've been hearing so much for the last 4 or 5 days that in order to actually realize what I've heard, I need some separation, because otherwise it's, I don't know what's happening right now. So in order to absorb all of that, I need my own personal time so that I can take it and apply it to my life.
Very nice realizations. Thank you for picking those out. Each one of them is a topic unto itself. That. Yeah, there's so much we can take out of the meetings that we all have and that you have regularly, and each one is unlimitedly deep. And being able to apply even the simplest things practically in our lives, it helps us to move forward. Anyone else? Yeah.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj, for everything. And it was really, really amazing long weekend with Abhaji and Loka Prabhu. We get to see you here. One thing that I mean, like what Radhika mentioned was a like really, really nice point, and I was thinking about it. But when you last 3-4 days, you were so much pressing about like reading Bhagavad Gita one chapter every day, and also distributing it, that like I was thinking about it, like, you know, every time I listen to that lecture, I feel like, you know, going out immediately. So I will continue listening to your lectures, and I will definitely go out every day and knock 4 doors. That's what I was thinking. And at least 4 persons in the office or someone, like, you know, and chat also. I'm thinking like I do it more sincerely and more attentively. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Shamyaprash does that. He goes out every day. I mean, sometimes he goes out for longer periods to distribute books, but he has a policy, he does at least 1 book every day. So it's funny, because I did a book distribution seminar at Balaram Hall in Vrindavan, and he was sitting way at the back of the hall, and I was talking about book distribution and how important it is just to walk out the door, and anything can happen when you walk out and Krishna makes arrangements. So I said, should I prove it? And everyone said, yeah. And I said, Samyabras, go out the door and distribute a book. So he went out and he came back and he said, it was amazing. I was going to use the technique of saying hi to somebody, but they said hi to me first and then asked me for what I was holding, you know. And they bought a Bhagavad Gita. But he has that momentum that wherever we are, he'll just go out and come back, and he's done his book. He keeps that going. Mother Nidra does that also. She goes out every day, even if it's close by to the bus stop or something like that. She'll find a place to go. And it keeps you very sharp in your practice to be in that energy regularly. You guys, anything? Chiquita Bonita? Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I'm reading from the chapter 4 of the first canto. And it's just the first verse in which Srila Prabhupada gives a definition of realization. Vyasuvacha iti bruvanam samstuya muninam dirgasatrinam vridhakula patisutam pahvrchu shonako bravit. On hearing Sudha Goswami speak thus, Shaunaka Muni, who was the elderly, learned leader of all the rishis, engaged in that prolonged sacrificial ceremony, congratulated Sudha Goswami by addressing him as follows. Purport. In a meeting of learned men, when there are congratulations or addresses for the speaker, the qualifications of the congratulator should be as follows. He must be the leader of the house and an elderly man. He must be vastly learned also. Shishonakari, she had all these qualifications, and thus he stood up to congratulate Sri Suta Goswami when he expressed his desire to present Srimad Bhagavatam exactly as he heard it from Shukadeva Goswami and also realized it personally. Personal realization does not mean that one should, out of vanity, attempt to show one's own learning by trying to surpass the previous acharyas. He must have full confidence in the previous acharya, and at the same time he must realize the subject matter so nicely that he can present the matter for the particular circumstances in a suitable manner. The original purpose of the text must be maintained. No obscure meaning should be screwed out of it, yet it should be presented in an interesting manner for the understanding of the audience. This is called realization. The leader of the assembly, Shaunaka, could estimate the value of the speaker, Sri Suta Goswami, simply by his uttering yutaditam and yutamati, and therefore he was very glad to congratulate him in ecstasy. No learned man should be willing to hear a person who does not represent the original acharya. So the speaker and the audience were bona fide in this meeting where Bhagavatam was being recited for the second time. That should be the standard of recitation of Bhagavatam, so that its real purpose can be served and Lord Krishna can be realized without difficulty. Unless this situation is created, Bhagavatam recitation will be for ulterior purposes, and such recitation is useless labor, both for the speaker and for the audience. It's very important that the right atmosphere is created when speaking about Krishna, especially when hearing Bhagavatam and the association of devotees. Sanatana Goswami has forbidden us to hear from those whose motivations for speaking Bhagavatam are questionable. The only motivation which is allowed by the Srimad Bhagavatam is stated in the second verse, Dharma Projita Kaitava Traparamonyam Atsaranam Satam. And that is that the speaker of the Bhagavatam must be free from envy and also for the desire to enjoy material sense gratification. Otherwise, the speaking of Bhagavatam or the hearing of Bhagavatam for ulterior purposes is called kaitava, or cheating. And the Srimad Bhagavatam declares outright that it rejects all kinds of cheating. In the Vedic sacrifices, there's a way in which priests would create the perfect situation during which the sacrifice could be effective. Modern mathematics springs from this endeavor for perfection in creating the fire pit. Everything had to be the proper length and breadth in order to conform to the instructions given in the Vedas. We find geometry emanates from the Vedic period when the fire yagyas had to be perfectly set up and measured. There's a reason for this, and that is when one performs a Vedic sacrifice, all the proper elements must be in place. And when the priest is authorized, and when the other priests who are assisting are also authorized and take their rightful positions in the sacrifice, when everything's set up according to the Vedic injunctions, and when the mantras are uttered properly, then the result is realized, and this is called effective speech. As an example, a judge who is in a bona fide courtroom, who is in session, who is wearing his robes, sitting behind the bench, when uttering a sentence, will have effectiveness. In other words, if he tells somebody in that situation that I sentence you to 30 years in jail, then that sentence will have effect. When he takes off his robe, he goes out from behind the bench. The session is over, and he's standing in front of 7-Eleven. And he sees somebody, and he says, "You should go to jail for 30 years. His speech will not have effect. Because the context is important, and one must be empowered to speak. And the context of our hearing and chanting, it is essential that we're very careful to understand who we're hearing from and what their motivations are. Because hearing from those who have varying motivations, which may include a different understanding of the Absolute Truth, including Mayavad conceptions, can contaminate our conception of devotional service. And this may be very subtle. Therefore, we find in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, whenever someone came with an original writing, for instance, in poetry, like Sarup Damodar Maharaj was the guardian who would hear it first to assess whether this person was authorized to present such a thing before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one time, when such a poet came, and many of the devotees thought that it was a great poem, and then Sarup Damodar Maharaj heard it, he found many faults and contaminated statements, and therefore he chastised this person. Very mercifully, though, he also encouraged him in his devotional practice. But being very careful, as Prabhupada mentions in the Srimad Bhagavatam, to maintain chaste consciousness, that is, consciousness which is aligned with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra very carefully, and which does not drift to various other philosophers, philosophies who do not adhere to this strict standard of the Srimad Bhagavatam and to the Parampara, is a way in which one may become deviated in the practice of devotional service. Furthermore, in this verse, it's very important that one follow the previous acharya in presenting Krishna consciousness to others, but it doesn't mean to be like a parrot, that I only say what the other person said, or only just read their books, and I don't make my own comments. One must have one's own realization. Otherwise, what was the effectiveness of the previous acharya? However, one must not try to show off one's knowledge. One should not try to surpass the previous acharya, but one should repeat it, but repeat it in such a way that it's relevant to the audience. And Prabhupada says, and I'll repeat, this is called realization. So this is an important purport to look over and study very carefully and apply to our own lives and think about the ways in which we're not only hearing about Krishna, and we should be very meticulous about that, and also about how we're presenting Krishna consciousness. Om Tat Sat. This has been an unforgettable weekend. We have received undoubtedly the best prasadam possible in Bhumandala by the best cooks. We've had interactive classes in which devotees asked relevant questions, and we had deep discussions. We had kirtans that made us dance. We've had times to laugh, times to be very serious. And so much has happened in the last 4 days, 5 days. How long were we here?
One day.
What? One day. It all merged into one. So, although we're somehow or other moving out the door tomorrow to go off to Alachua, our hearts will be here with you. And to reiterate, from our perspective, and I'm speaking for Nirkula also, you're all making great advancement in this environment. And I very much approve of the program that's going on here, because it's completely in accord with the way in which Prabhupada set up the Krishna consciousness movement to be inclusive, to be empowering, to be compassionate. There's outreach. There's intensive hearing and chanting. And it's individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. And it's, to us, one of the most beautiful programs that's going on anywhere in North America and in the world. So just our personal endorsement of what Loka and Vidarbha are doing here, I just want you to know clearly that I think, and Nirkula thinks, this is one of the premier programs in the world. So thank you very much for being part of it. Hare Krishna. Gaur Premanande Haribo Vancha Kalpa Dharubhascha Kripa Sannabhevascha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Natakoti Vaishnavindiki Jai
Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman. Hey! Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman.